and give me more. You know exactly what I came here for.
Back it up and do it again. From the middle to the top to the end. Back to the middle to the front to the end. Back to the middle to the front to the end. Back to the middle to the front to the end. Back to the middle to the front. Everybody back to the middle. I don't care if he's the friend. From the front to the middle to the back to the end. Back to the middle. I wanna. Back to the middle. I wanna. Back to the middle. I wanna. Back it up and do it again. Back to the middle. I wanna. Back to the middle. I wanna. Back to the middle. I wanna.
Welcome to the Truth to Power Show on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm your host, VJR Nathan. And with us today is Bronna Dane. She is a super role model. She's appeared in numerous publications such as Porter Magazine, Forbes, Vogue Italia, and Harper's Bazaar, highlighting her ethical modeling efforts. She's worked with some of the top brands, including several that you well know. She's an active member of the fashion community and co-founder of Super Role Models, one of the many leaders in the model activist group Model Mafia. She's recently been hosting for FNL Network on Amazon Prime globally, as well as came with her written interview work at Bella Magazine, other publications. Welcome, welcome.
Hi, Vijay. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Thank you, thank you. So why don't we start off with your work with the Model Mafia, and tell us a little bit about that and how you started with them and what's that about?
You know, about 2.5 years ago or something like that, I got a seemingly random email in my inbox, and I was like, this looks interesting. Maybe I'll check it out.
Yeah.
And I went, and I was very surprised to feel really understood as a model for the first time. We had our first meeting about 2+ years ago, and it was models only. It was a panel discussion. No media, no non-models, et cetera. And it was felt powerful. And So from there, we kept the ball rolling, and we did a lot of activations together. We marched in D.C. for the climate march, and that was covered in Glamour Mag. So we have like a little video of us all together on the bus. And we're about 200 models, and we come together on lots of different issues, and we use our social media. We are experts in marketing on social media as models. I don't know. Some people don't know that, but that's a part of the job. I get judged sometimes on in my personal life or like promoting myself on social media so much, but it's actually a part of the job. So we can turn that skill on its head and direct it towards a cause, and it can have really powerful results, especially when we do it together as a group.
Good, good. So first of all, let's go backtrack a little bit. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Where were you born and where were you raised? Where did you grow up? And how did you tell us a little bit about your life journey towards this point in life and such? Yeah, where were you born first?
Well, I was born in California, in Newport Beach. And then when I was pretty young still, I moved to Vancouver, Canada. And that's mostly where I grew up. I was scouted when I was very young by a top agency in Canada. And I went to school in Europe, and then I came to New York City and really got deep in the modeling world.
Yeah, and you were mentioning a lot about your activism work. You mentioned a little bit about it in the beginning thing, but tell us a little bit more about your involvement with, you know, also the ethical treatment of models and all that. So tell us a little bit about how you've been advocating for that and what kind of result that's brought about, or what the process at least. Yeah.
You know, it's really difficult in the fashion industry to make a change, and it's very slow.
Yeah,
it is changing slowly. I can see that. Diversity has definitely gotten made big headway. I'm sure there's a lot more to go, but it's made big headway in recent years in the fashion industry. But there are so many other issues that are still really, and it's really haven't evolved to a point where I'm satisfied at all. And so with Super Role Models, I'm a co-founder of this organization. We're really focusing on empowering the individual model, because like it or not, models are actually looked up to by young girls and other people in society as role models.
Mm.
So if a model is out of balance, if a model is not nourishing themselves correctly, if their whole identity is wrapped up in their exterior appearance only, then that has a negative effect not only on the model, you know, who I care about, but it has a negative effect on society at large.
Mm.
So I think that's very important to address that, especially being in this industry myself. You know, I have the opportunity to make this change, and I do believe that making these high priority changes, and the model mafia is also involved with this. So the first priority is probably raising the age limit for modeling, especially the shows, to 18, which I think is completely reasonable.
Yeah.
And the second priority is just making sure that models are healthy and not under eating, underweight. And that's really dictated by the clients, these two things. And I don't get it, because it's not a human biological natural thing to want to see beauty reflected as underweight and 15. It's not natural. And it's artificial. And I believe that it creates a sick society when, you know, underweight young teenagers are selling goods or being used to market goods to 30, 40-year-old women. It doesn't make any sense to me. So I think just by raising the age to 18 will make a huge difference. And, yeah, just making sure that models reflect a healthy appearance.
Yeah. So why don't we go into a little bit of the, you talked a little bit about it, but also the guiding philosophies and such that guide you through your life, and the values, core values that you feel, just in general, more broadly, have really guided you to finding your voice and finding your ability to speak on these issues. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it has been a journey, and I didn't always feel so comfortable. And really getting involved with the model mafia has made me feel more empowered.
Yeah.
Because I know that there are other models and people in fashion that are rooting for me to make these changes and be a part of the change and change the conversation. So that's been very powerful. And also just in my own life, you know, I've had different experiences where I've been very thin and agents have told me you need to lose weight for pretty much no reason, except I honestly believe they were just used to saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it becomes like something they say rather than really looking at the
person.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, things need to change. And I really commend women model management. They actually stopped showing girls in Fashion Week under 18. So that's really great. IMG is still showing girls under 18.
Mm.
Yeah.
And also, you did some work in with raising awareness for climate change, I believe. Can you tell us a little bit more about the other kinds of, like, just tell us more broadly the activism and such? Yeah.
Yeah. So I am an activist, and I get involved with environmental causes as well. So I marched in D.C. That was a very powerful experience, coming together and marching there. And I try and promote sustainable brands. My interest in this, you know, I grew up in Canada, so we're always a little bit ahead in the recycling and, you know, being kind to the earth sort of thing. In school, that was, you know, a priority for the teachers to tell us about and all this sort of thing. Since I saw the True Cost movie, I attended the premiere with Eileen Fisher, and she's a great designer who does sustainable design. That's when I really got the idea in my head that we needed to make a change in the fashion industry towards slow fashion. Yes.
Yeah. Good, good. So I just want to put a request out to our listeners. If they want to call in and talk about anything, ask questions of Brana, or talk about anything, the number is 718-928-9732. Number again is 718-928-9732. You can come in, call in and talk about the fashion industry, talk about her activism or anything you'd like to talk about. So we'll switch gears actually a little bit to talk about your painting and creative process, to touch a little bit on that. And I'll give you a chance to talk a little bit about how you've grown as a painter, how you've grown as a poet also. I understand you've written, you just received your first publication, correct?
Yeah, that's very correct. And I'd love to have a listener call in and talk to a listener, by the way. So
I'm hoping
someone will call in. I was so excited to find out that I was going to be published as a poet for the first time. It's just, you know, I don't call myself a poet, but it was just really, I really wanted to have one piece published, and it's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So about your painting as well, how long have you been doing that, or how long have you been painting?
I've been painting for over a decade.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. And tell us a little bit about your creative process. Like, what's your inspiration? What kinds of subjects do you paint?
Sure. So, you know, as a kid, my mother would take me to the opera. We had Salvador Dali paintings up in the house. I was just exposed to the arts from a young age. I went to the ballet. I took ballet. I just have a real appreciation mm-hmm. of the arts. And my grandmother also is a professional painter. So it's just something that I love beauty, and I get inspired by the world around me and just the emotional reaction it creates within me. So that's what I try and portray in my paintings. I always think that there ends up being a sort of sense of movement that I direct the gaze with the composition and the choice of colors. So I do mostly acrylic on canvas, and I'm getting more into abstract now. I've done abstract in the past, but I'm going to go more in that direction. But traditionally, I've been doing a lot of figure art and portraiture.
Yeah, good, good. So one thing we were talking a little bit about in the pre-interview questions when we kind of guided through, you're talking about some of the thinkers and philosophies that have influenced you. One of them you mentioned is Carl Jung, mm-hmm. The collective unconscious. So these kinds of things that you're talking about with painting, kind of drawing from the artistic traditions and drawing from and finding your own voice and finding a way to an inlet into or an inroad into one's creativity is one of the major ways that we find, you know, our voice and such. So tell us a little bit about your understanding of these kinds of ideas, and then we can lead into the political discussion later on. Yeah.
Sure. So actually with Super Role Models, that's one of the things that we get into is promoting meditation and Kundalini yoga. And we're doing workshops for that. So it is very important, especially in a fast paced society, to kind of keep your mindfulness and appreciate the small things around you.
Mm.
And you can get a lot of joy and inspiration from just noticing little things. And Carl Jung comes into this with synchronicity and those principles. So yeah, art is a great way to kind of channel this. And I actually teach art therapy because it's a great way for me to kind of, you know, combine my artistic side with the
more business or
business and social. And I do it for models with Super Role Models to kind of teach skills that can help with coping. And it's a really great way to, one of the only ways to express yourself in a nonverbal way and get out emotions without the vulnerability of using words, which can be hard sometimes depending on the situation.
Good. So you were mentioning an incident or experience you had about when we talk about in this society today, we talk about how we see a polarization of, you know, people affirming their identity as a progressive or Democrat, and people affirming their identity as a Republican and conservative, and becomes very entrenched in those philosophies and those perspectives. But you're talking about how you know, the cross, being able to reach out and find commonalities. So tell us a little bit about your experiences with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, certain causes are very important to me, like environmentalism and, you know, women's issues and that sort of thing. But at the same time, it's really important to be inclusive and not judge someone based on their political beliefs alone. You have to really ask and find out why they're feeling a certain way about something, because there's always like a little bit, a nugget of truth in pretty much anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you have to really think from the other person's perspective. And I don't agree with people who are defriending people on Facebook because of the political beliefs and, you know, just being shutting down basically their mind and their heart to other people based on something that I find very superficial, because, you know, there can be very good people who are Republican and Democrat and liberal and, you know, whatnot. So I actually did a video for my social media and for this congressional candidate's social media, Naomi Levin. She's a Republican in New York City. Mm. She's very moderate. In another, you know, state, she'd probably be considered a Democrat.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to speak for her. I don't know, but she's very moderate. And so I did a video about how it's very important to protect our environment. And I mean, that's something we completely agreed on. And I think it's very important to really see where you can come together and work together.
Yeah, I think also it's important for people to realize that, you know, when we present ourselves on social media, we're only getting a fraction of who we are and what we represent, and how we can communicate through social media has become deteriorated, because we're only looking at a fraction of it, and then we're not able to see or perceive the person's truth, the person's place of being, where they're coming from. So, you know, I can understand what you're saying about, you know, this trending idea that, oh, I can only keep my echo bubble. I can't keep with, you know, I can't have a dialogue or discussion with people who, quote unquote, disagree with me without, you know, because that Facebook, that social media perception is only seeing a fraction of it, you know?
That's very true. And it's, you know, it's encouraged by technology today. They kind of encourage this bubble that you're living in by their algorithms and, you know, what advertisements they show you. It's making people more insular.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, tell us a little bit more about what's coming up for you now, as far as like what you're watching or what you're reading or things that are coming up for you that in the media. Speaking of media and such, anything that you've been reading or watching that's interesting? You mentioned Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but that's kind of an older show. But have you watched Sabrina, the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina? It's kind of a similar motif to Buffy. It might be a
Yeah, so it's watch, a little bit before my time, but I got really into Buffy in middle school.
Uh-huh.
And I just think it's so important to see strong female characters.
Yeah.
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 It had a big impact on me, feeling like, you know, yeah, I can slay a dragon. I can go out and do whatever, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Good, good. And so also just to remind listeners that we're having a request for call-ins at 718-928-9732.
Oh, and I did want to talk about also with the Model Mafia. We were very instrumental as a group in bringing the Me Too movement to the fashion industry.
Oh, good. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's something that we're really proud of as a group. And we started the hashtag My Job Should Not Include Abuse.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's rampant. It's not just towards women either. I mean, a lot of young men get harassed.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an issue that we want to bring up and find people to advocate for. Advocacy is so important, to be able to stand on the defense and the truth and justice and all this kind of the ability of the people. You know, I think there was a quote that if you're neutral on a moving train, you can't be neutral on a moving train. Also, that if you silence, takes aside the oppressor. So these kinds of ideas that maybe we can flesh that out a little more. Yeah.
Yeah, and I really feel that, you know, you can achieve a lot in your life if you just deal with the things that come up in your own life in a way that, you know, you're proud of and that you're doing what you can do. So that's how I try and live my life. For example, I was actually mugged a couple years back, and I was really lucky that this homeless Good Samaritan followed my attacker into the park and tipped off the police. So that's how we caught this guy. And so I ID'd him. I went into the grand jury, you know, and then I later, like a year later, over a year later, testified against this guy. And it was not for my betterment or revenge or anything. I just was like, this guy has a record. He could be doing this to someone. He could push someone over who's like 70 and she could break a hip or whatever. You know, it's for society. And I feel like if more people had that idea that they have to deal with things in a way when they actually come up in their own life that is good for everyone, that life would just be a lot easier.
Yeah, yeah, it's so true. And I think that, you know, when we talk about our obligation or as citizens and such, and how we contribute to society, how we have to, you know, in today's society, I feel like citizens feel like, oh, you know, it's the politician's job to do certain things. And our voting is the only, you know, we always hear the reprise about how voting is so important. And it is, but our participation in society is just as important. Our participation in being civil, our civil duty, our civic duty, is just as important. And and being able to participate and being able to make our voices heard is just as important as voting, you know?
Yeah, it's very true. I mean, you can have a large influence and not be a politician. And, you know, there can be laws in the books that no one follows. That happens all the time. And it's really popular culture that dictates a lot of our daily living.
Yeah. So, yeah. So now we were talking a little bit about kind of an ideal society. What would it look like? What would it feel like? If you expand a little bit more about what's your vision for some of the key points in a kind of perfect world, in a utopia or something. Yeah.
You know, that's a really hard question because I think much more intelligent people than myself have had a hard time answering exactly how a utopia would work. But in general, I think just people would feel, you know, respected and valued for their unique gifts that they can offer. You know, I feel that in our society, it can be very difficult for certain people when they're only judged on superficial values. And it's not all about how much money you make or, you know, how attractive you are. There are other things that should be valued.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good, good. So did you happen to bring the poem you published or did you happen to bring it? Do you have a copy of it?
I don't.
Would you like to read it?
I have a copy on my phone.
Yeah, if you want to take a moment, I'll maybe we'll go to a song and then we'll take a quick intermission and then we'll be right back. Okay.
Sure.
Okay, and we're back on Radio Free Brooklyn. This is the Truth to Power Show. Once again, the request for call-ins at 718-928-9732. And we're going to listen to the poem that Brianna had written that recently got published.
Yeah, hi.
Where did it get published? Yeah.
It was published in an anthology of different writers. Some have won awards, and all the ones I looked at have written books. So it was really an honor for me.
Great, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. So it's called Surrender. Blinding walls of white create the piercing void, demanding me to awaken. A deep slumber we once shared, dark bliss, patiently unfolding, together again. Life is the object on display for our view. You're looking to capture the fragrance of my eternity, happiness. With abandon, the images of your scent dances shadows on my blank walls. No longer blinding, you whisper, the melody of my perfume, the language of my soul. Once met, symbols given sustenance, imbued with our meaning, our dance, we two.
Thank you, thank you. So why don't we circle back and talk about Mile Mafia again and your favorite modeling experiences. Tell us a little bit about highlighting some of your favorite or most interesting modeling experiences, yeah.
Sure. I just want to clarify, though, with the poem, actually.
Uh-huh. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
I think most people think it's about, like, love or falling in love, which
yeah,
it could be. It's true. Like, yeah. I wrote it during that period of time, but it's more about spiritual awakening.
Oh, good, good. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's more about, you know, myself with universal presence or, you know, God, what have you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. So read with that, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yes, so, yeah, your, to answer your question, my favorite modeling experiences, you know, it's my favorite are actually not the most prestigious, but it was so fun walking in the middle of Times Square for the IFA Awards. Do you know them? They're like
IFA.
Bollywood. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Bollywood Oscars, I was told.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that was so fun because they had it here 1 year and I got to be in the fashion show part of it. And so I walked out multiple times in the middle of Times Square in a crowd of like thousands of people. And it was just like, I felt the energy. It was awesome. And I almost tripped, but then I got to dance off stage because, you know, it's a show.
Yeah.
Got to make it work. And so that was really fun. Another fun experience was really doing the Porter Magazine cover shoot with the Model Mafia, because it was just, you know, really wonderful to be around a group of people that really believe in and that are doing really cool things.
Great, great. And yeah, tell us more about what Model Mafia is doing now and where it's going, where it's headed.
Okay, but back to your first question.
Oh, yeah.
I just remembered something.
Yeah. Also,
it was super cool. I was in a fashion video that played at Madison Square Garden one fashion week.
Uh-huh.
So that was cool to see myself on like a huge screen and playing in front of like a bunch of people and Madison Square Garden. Like these are things like I never thought as a kid that I would be doing whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So it's surprising and it's just like, oh, okay, I'm doing this next week. Okay, great. Sounds good.
Yeah. Good,
yeah.
Good.
And so what's coming up with the Model Mafia is we partnered in the past with Rainforest Alliance to do social media campaigns and work with them. So now one project I'm working on is with Pure Earth. They retrain people to, let's say, for example, make pottery without using lead. So, you know, they're having a big impact. They're a large international charity. And we're partnering with them on social media. And then also we're helping them with their gala and just raising funds and getting awareness out there about pollution and that it's responsible for about, I think, 9 million deaths a year or, you know, if that I can remember right now. But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know. Environmentalism, getting the message out there about pollution and the statistics.
Yeah, good, good. So Yeah, tell us a little more about what are some things that come up to you today or the past week that have kind of really been like, you know, I think that the most important thing, it seems to me, that finding that beauty in the daily life, finding that beauty in the moment to moment. You're talking some really great stories about how, you know, when you find the joy and living, the joy of living and the joy of life, you know, these moments can really shine through, and things that could be, things have the potential of going wrong can become, you know, some of our best stories, you know? So as you were mentioning,
that's very true.
Stories almost tripping, and then, you know, having turned into a dance can be a really great experience, a really great joy in life. How has that translated? How has that changed your perception, or how has that kind of guided you, that kind of idea?
You know, I've had like so many failures in my life, and it's just that you keep on going if you believe in something, and then eventually you end up somewhere. I don't know where it is, but you end up somewhere.
Yeah, good. So, and what about for music, as far as music goes? Like, what have you been listening to, or what have you been, what's like your favorite band or favorite music?
You know, my favorite song, if I had to pick, is probably A Song for You by Leon Russell. Do you know that?
No.
I really love the lyrics.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's, lyrics, melody. It's really beautiful. It's sung by like many different people. So if you don't like Leon's kind of husky, rough voice.
Leon?
Russell.
I'll play in the background. So what other, any other?
I like Lana Del Rey. I mean, I like classical. Vivaldi is one of my favorites. I love instrumental jazz music. I love going to like, you know, smalls in the city here and just listening to great musicians. And speaking of Russells, Cameron Russell and Anya Rose Campbell are just such great leaders, and they have taught me a lot about leadership since I've been involved with the Model Mafia over the past couple years. It's really made me think of leadership in a different way.
Yeah.
So I'm very grateful, because I feel like I'm a better person now than I was before I got involved with this. And maybe for different reasons than you might think. It's not that, you know, I didn't have ideas of doing great things and improving the world. I did. But it's just, you know, I've gotten new ideas of how I could do that.
Yeah, I think it's always a dream to be able to participate in the community and be able to, you know, really get a sense of, and that's empowerment. And that's part of the process of hearing our voice, being feeling seen and heard, and being able to see our community and hear our community, and be able to empower those who are
exactly, you
know, marginalized and such. Yeah,
and it's you have to empower the people working with you as well, and that's kind of what I've learned.
Let's take a moment to listen to a little bit of this.
Sure. Listen to the melody, call my love and they're hiding. I love you in a place where there's no space and time. I love you for my life, you are a friend of mine. And when my life is over, remember when we were together. We were alone and now we're singing this song to you. Mm-hmm.
But I love you in a place where there's no space and time. I love you for my life, you are a friend of mine. And when my life's over, remember when we were together. We were alone and now we're singing this song for you. We were alone and now we're singing this song for you. We were alone and now we're singing my song. Singing this song for you.
So lovely, lovely. That was a lovely song. And,
I just love that song.
Yeah, really great. So why don't we talk a little bit about kind of like the clients that you've worked for and such, and tell us a little bit more about that and how that's informed your process and such.
Yeah, so I mean, I've worked with people such as Maison Margiela, Hirono, Michael Costello. I'm going to forget a bunch of great people that I really enjoy working with. Still in Alaska, it was really fun walking for her during Fashion Week because she had this whole presentation before we walked about the Me Too movement and empowerment, and so that was really fun. Samantha Sung, Paul Mitchell, L'Oreal Biolage, Palouche, which is a vegan fur brand, which is great, and I've turned down work from several different fur brands before, so that's something that's important to me. As a vegan. So, yeah, I mean, I've also been lucky enough to be in, you know, like Hello Russia, Marie Claire, Porter Magazine, as we discussed, Harper's Bazaar, Forbes, Vogue Italia, Marie Claire, the Glamour video.
So you also did Friday some interviewing, or you did some interviewing yourself, or so you interviewed some people. What was the experience of that? And your proudest moment.
So, yeah, I do interviews both written and on air. So I've worked with numerous different publications. Right now I have a series called Model Perspective at YRB Magazine. And then I have also a commitment with Bella Magazine. And the last thing I published was actually a piece on Hadi Naziri, who is a performance artist that I met at the Oslo Freedom Forum. And so I was really honored to be able to interview him and just discuss why he got involved with the things he did and his beliefs on his country, the Middle East, and how they're treating women. And so that's just something that is important for me to get out there. And I really enjoyed hearing his perspective, and it's, you know, still up. You can check it out on Bella Magazine. Yeah, and so then with FNL Network, I got involved last year with them. And it's been kind of a natural transition to do on-air hosting. And I love interviewing people, and I love a fast-paced environment. I like to think on my feet. So it's really fun. And, you know, I would have I cast for people, you know, just a few days before interviewing them. So it was kind of a fun experience to be like, hey, what's up?
How have you found your interviews and such? And
how I find the interview subjects?
Yeah.
Well, it's just kind of people who come up in my life. I mean, I had this opportunity to go to the Oslo Freedom Forum as press, and so that was exciting for me. It was very motivating and inspiring to be there. And I reached out to a couple people while I was there, and Hadi was the one who really was excited about interviewing. So that's what I did with him. Another person I interviewed for YRB, which was pretty interesting to me, was the head of Biofabricate. Mm-hmm. She does new materials that are biologically produced. So it's very sustainable. It's not financially viable right now for mass production, but they're getting there. As any technology, it starts out being a little pricey, and then, you know, it's going to go down. So I look forward to seeing what materials they put out there in the future and how they can really help help change the fashion industry.
Good, good. So I'll take a moment just to tell us a little bit about, tell the listeners a little bit about Ready for Brooklyn. So Ready for Brooklyn is a 501c3 nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a free and open platform to our community and promote media literacy, education, and free expression. We rely primarily on donations from listeners like you. To help support our mission, we invite you to make a one-time donation or monthly pledge at readyforbrooklyn.org/donate. Every cent helps us continue to stay on air. So please support independent community media by pledging whatever you can afford. All contributions are tax deductible to the fullest extent of the law. Again, that's readyforbrooklyn.org/donate. Ready for Brooklyn also is proud to announce that we'll be launching an after-school program for local teenagers in 2019. So to learn media literacy through media making, using a hands-on approach guided by local professionals. If you'd be interested in participating or donating to this program, please go to readyforbrooklyn.org/afterschool. And remember, all donations are tax deductible. General, if you'd like to listen to Ready for Brooklyn, you're not in front of your computer, please consider downloading our free mobile app from iPhone to Android, available in the Apple iStore and the Google Play Store for Android. Or you can go to readyforbrooklyn.org/iPhone or /Android. Also, if you'd like to keep up to date on news in Ready for Brooklyn community, you can go to readyforbrooklyn.org/newsletter, and you can be up to subscribe to our monthly newsletter for latest news programming and upcoming events. And you can sign up at that link, readyforbrooklyn.org/newsletter. Finally, Ready for Brooklyn is doing a DJ night tonight. This is 1:14, so I know this episode will rebroadcast on Thursday. So if you're listening on Thursday, it's over. But but Monday, 1:14 at 9 p.m., come out to the Pine Box Rock Shop located at 92 Grattan Street here in Bushwick on Monday, January 14th at 9 p.m. for Ready for Brooklyn's DJ night. Your favorite RFB DJs will be spinning tracks from 9 to 11 p.m., including the best in Brooklyn-based music. Admission is free. Yay. Good, good.
Sounds cool.
Sounds cool, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yes, so, indeed.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, as we start to wind down, we have about, 12 more minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, tell us a little bit more about, tell us what's coming up for you. What's kind of... What is your New Year's resolution, if you will? Do you have a New Year's resolution or New Year? Anything that you are aiming for personally? Yeah,
I'm not a big believer in New Year's resolutions because I feel like you should be constantly sort of evaluating yourself. But, you know, it's also not good to overthink things all the time.
Yeah.
So, right. Yeah, for myself, I've just been, my resolution is to kind of focus more on the things that are really essential and devote more time to those, and then just protect my downtime a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
That is a resolution. Say a little bit more no to things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's so important to, as you're saying, I do believe that it's so important to, always each day just kind of renewing intentions and being able to stay with the idea that it's only in the new year that you set an intention is not true, but
exactly.
At the same time, I think that we should be doing it all the time. We should be always renewing and always trying to inspire ourselves to be better and do better. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, another thing that I'm looking forward to getting involved in this year is mental health causes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've been really finding a way. And that's part of the reason I do my art therapy, which I'm actually going to be shooting with Caravan Wellness on the 26th, a little video, because it's an important issue that is often stigmatized. So that's why I think as a model, it's great to kind of say, you know, it's all right. Mm. You know, it's just a physical issue.
Exactly. Yeah. And we've talked a little bit about this on the show about how it's so important that we all, and in a previous episode, I was talking to someone who's in mental health counseling about how it's all a spectrum that we're all, we talk about wellness, we talk about illness, but we talk about, you know, everyone has their experiences that in each day, in each day-to-day life, we're having experiences on that spectrum that we're not like, there's no clear boundaries. When we talk about physical illness, we don't talk about it in those terms. But with mental health, we talk about as though someone's inherently, you know, in this way, but actually we're all on the spectrum of experiences. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's very true. And yeah, so that's a priority for me this year. And I'm very, give a shout out to the Hoff app, Humans of Fashion, for the work they're doing. They connect people in the fashion industry with mental health advocates and lawyers if need be for different issues. So they're doing some good work. Maybe get involved with them in the future. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how was your holidays? How was the over the holidays and such? Did you celebrate anything and how was that? How was your?
Oh yeah, I mean I celebrate Christmas.
Uh-huh.
It was really nice. I went to Tavern on the Green with my mother.
Mm-hmm.
A little celebration.
Yeah,
you know?
Just
family time. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll go out with Dirty Laundry by Bittersweet. And we may have time for two songs by Bittersweet, actually. So we'll listen a little bit to that. And remember that Radio Free Brooklyn Truth to Power show airs every Monday at 8 a.m. Rebroadcast on Thursday at 9 a.m. for now. And you can find our catalog you have something else?
Yeah, so I just also wanted to talk about some of the agencies that I'm affiliated with for modeling because they're really unique in the way that they do business.
Yeah.
So Role Model Management is based in L.A., and they really focus on sustainable and vegan brands, and they promote you as a full person as opposed to just your look alone.
Mm-hmm.
And then We Speak here in New York City is really a great agency who promotes diversity of the size.
Yeah.
As well as, you know, other things. So, yeah, I forget her name, but the girl with Down syndrome who was just in, I think, the Aerie campaign is with We Speak.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that I find that really great.
Yeah, it's so important to be able to celebrate and appreciate diversity and appreciate where people are coming from and different, not just be too bowling alley about what we consider, you know, to be, just being able to give all the people a chance to succeed and promote and such, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really great because there's a large population that, you know, needs to feel validated. I mean, at the same time, I love beauty. I love beautiful men and women. And I think it's great to see a really healthy, well-shaped person, you know, in a great bikini or clothing. And, you know, actually modeling has really helped me to become more comfortable with myself and my sexuality and all that. And I find that there's usually you don't hear that. You hear because people get involved when they're maybe 15, 16 a lot of the time. And you hear that it's really harmed them because they've been put in very uncomfortable situations.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've been put in uncomfortable situations, but maybe not when I was 15. So it had a little bit of a different, it didn't affect me as much.
Mm.
But the flip side is that it can be very empowering and it can be positive, actually. And I think that you hear a lot of negativity about the fashion industry. And, you know, I'm somewhat responsible for bringing this message. But I also want to say about fashion and modeling in general that it can be an empowering thing. It doesn't have to be a negative thing. And I don't want to rag on it. I like what I do. And, yeah, it can be very empowering as a man or woman to say, you know, this is what I am. There's nothing wrong with it. And, you know, this is that.
Yeah.
If you see what I'm saying. Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. That's a really great way to wrap up. And then I just want to let people know, as I was saying, they can find the catalog or the back, the archives of Truth to Power Show on truthtopowershow.podomatic.com. Also, the show archive on iTunes and Spotify. And I recently got added to Google Play. So that was a new thing. So if Casey searched for it before on Google Play and didn't find it, it's now added onto Google Play. So, yeah, thank you. And thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure. And I'm really impressed with this show. And I've heard multiple episodes that you've done before. And it's really interesting. And I look forward to the future.
Thank you so much. So we'll listen a little bit to Bittersweet Going Out. Thank you. Is there-